Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program today on a beautiful Tuesday. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pray that you are having a great, great day. Do you realize we are just a short period of time, just less than 2 weeks now away from the actual official beginning of summer? The unofficial beginning has already happened, but the official beginning will be here in just a minute. So, you know, that means it's going to get hot at some point in time, and then it's going to stay hot, and then it's going to get even hotter. Not to be a pessimist, that's just reality for you in Florida. But we pray that everything is going well for you. And my name is Bob Arthurs. We're going to spend the next half hour here. We've been talking now for quite some time about this concept, God deliver us from evil, or deliver us from the evil one. So we have been addressing for a long time now this concept of deliverance. On yesterday's program, we talked about that we have to deliver ourselves by obedience. When God says get out, we need to get out. And that's not a time for, you know, heartfelt, you know, longings for things gone by. It is time to go. And I don't know if you've ever been on one of those trips where somebody was saying, it's time to go, and say, well, in just a minute. Or you remind them a time again. And finally somebody says, no, it is time to go. We've got to go now. But that's the type of urgency. God doesn't want you living another few years in sin before you decide to give your heart to Jesus. He wants you to understand now that the lifestyle of sin is actually a death style, which is separation from God. It makes the devil very happy. It makes God very sad. He created you for more. He created you for his pleasure. He created you to spend eternity with him. And so I pray that you're not playing footsie with the devil, but instead you are realizing the seriousness of holiness, and you are coming to God. I read a news article here that a couple of weeks ago about this professional drummer. I can tell you this, anybody who gets the label professional drummer plays the drums better than I do, because I can't keep a beat. I've got an athletic clock inside of me when it comes to golfing, but I never really spoke music very well. My kids all did. My wife's got some music ability. I can sing, but I can't read music. And so I was reading this article about this drummer who came down with a coronavirus, and he almost died. He ended up being in a coma, and he had a near-death experience. Only his near-death experience wasn't one of those feel good, you know, I'm drawn to the light. His was an encounter with the devil. And his first words when he woke up was, am I still in hell? And he went on to describe his lifestyle changes that he's made. And he moderated his lifestyle some, but he didn't completely change his life. But the article ended with him saying this: let's just say I don't think the devil is nearly as cool as I used to think. Well, please understand, the devil isn't cool. He is evil. He doesn't like you, he hates you, and he wants to destroy you. And if all that does is cause you to moderate your lifestyle a little bit, you know, I don't know what it's going to take to deliver you. I know when I was growing up, one of the men in our church, he had a couple of near-death experiences, and he came back, and he had been in church, but he'd never given his life to Jesus. And he was in the hospital, and he started telling his wife, "Put out the flames, put out the flames." He right before he had this near-death experience, he could feel the flames of hell. And he also had a hellish near-death experience. And he came back and he said, "You know what? It is time to change." And so he gave his heart to Jesus and became a rock-solid Christian. And then he had another death experience. And this time he didn't go to hell. He went to heaven. And he came back and he recounted that story. And then the third time, he got to experience heaven for all that it's worth. And so I encourage you, don't play footsie with the devil. Deliver yourself. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. It is not just about fire insurance, though. Okay, allow me to say this before we get into today's study. It is not just about fire insurance. If escaping hell is the only reason that you want to go to heaven, then you need to understand that heaven is really about an eternal relationship with Jesus that is unhindered by sin or fatigue or sickness or death. It is unfettered joy in the presence of God for all of eternity. Jesus is the reason you want to go to heaven. So today I want to take you to Daniel, the third chapter. We're going to be talking a little bit. We talked about Babylon yesterday. This is when Nebuchadnezzar is still ruling and reigning in Babylon. And I want to begin reading. I'll set the stage for you. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It said in verse number 7, "So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre in symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up.' Then King Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these three men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?'" Listen to that challenge. A person has set themselves up as such an authority that they believe that there is not any entity in all the universe, in all of eternity, that would be able to separate or deliver these men from Nebuchadnezzar's hands. Well, I've got good news for you. Jesus is not your average, ordinary God. He is God, capital G. And he is able to deliver no matter what adversary has you in its grip. Doesn't matter what sin is dominating your life, Jesus is able to break the grip of that. Verse number 16, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. You see, I think that many times when we find ourselves standing for righteousness and needing to be delivered from persecution, I believe that God wants us to realize that we have become too hot for the devil to handle. I made a statement to our congregation here not too long ago. And it was right after the president had come out and made his declaration that churches are essential, and strongly encouraged the governors who were keeping churches locked down to open those churches up. That was what it was. I want you to know we're essential anyway. I'm thankful for the president's declaration, but God determines the church is essential, or he wouldn't have created it. The home is essential. The church is essential. And so I made this statement, and this was before, I think there were 11 governors at the time that were still refusing to grant churches. And one church had filed suit, and one of their appeals court ruled that the governor was right. He could keep churches shut down. And then there were several hundred pastors, well over 1,000 pastors in that state, that said, "You know what? On Pentecost Sunday, we're going to open up whether we have your permission or not." And then a few days before Pentecost, the governor changed his mind and said, "Well, we'll go ahead and let you all open with some restrictions." And this is the statement that I made. I am grateful for the president's declaration, and I'm grateful that in the state of Florida, you know, the governor has already made that declaration. But in all honesty, we don't need their permission. It is a constitutional right that we have the freedom to assemble, and Congress is not supposed to make any laws to prohibit us from being able to gather like that. And so I don't want to sound disrespectful, because we're supposed to honor those in authority. But there are four layers of authority. There is God. God's never out of line. There are people who are in authority over us, and sometimes they're doing the right thing, and sometimes they're not. And when they're not, that is when we find ourselves in a situation like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I do not have the liberty to shift my moral positions just because those in authority over us in an earthly sense have stepped out from the under the authority of God's word, and they've tried to redefine morality. They have tried to authorize killing babies. They've tried to redefine the word of God. I can't shift with them at that point in time. And so we find ourselves in a situation like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the people in authority say, well, who is going to be able to deliver you from the authority of my hand? And I want you to understand that this, although it looks like a point of conflict, it is actually a point of promotion. Okay? There are lots of pastors in Germany during the Nazi era, but there's only one that I really remember, and he was the one who resisted the Nazis, because he realized that their positions weren't in line with the word of God. And so as much as I'm like to be an easy going pastor, whenever you put me in a situation where I've got to choose to obey God or choose to obey people rebelling against God, I'm going to choose God. And just like Nebuchadnezzar, those in earthly authority would say, who's going to be able to deliver you from my hand? It is getting ready to get very, very ugly. It is getting ready to get very painful. It is getting, you are getting ready to be a trophy case for my sovereignty. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their response was very respectful. And it said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, if you're going to throw us into the fiery furnace, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Whatever you are facing persecution-wise, please know that it is in God's power to be able to deliver you. This is not a competition. This would be like me going into a grip contest with an infant. It would be so overwhelming. Nebuchadnezzar, in fact, just one chapter over, Nebuchadnezzar is writing the fourth chapter of the book of Daniel because God humbled him, humiliated him, actually. You know, there's a difference between humility and humiliation. Humility is something that we embrace. Humiliation is when someone else brings us to that same destination, but we went reluctantly along the journey. At the end of that chapter, Nebuchadnezzar is writing that there is no king. There is no God like the Lord God Almighty. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, we serve a God who is able to deliver us. Okay? Contend for faith. Contend for faith. Contend for the faith in pleasant circumstances. Contend for the faith in confrontational situations. Contend for the faith when you're in the struggle. Contend for the faith when others are dealing with the struggle. God has given us all the measure of faith. Let's make sure that we don't surrender our faith at the point in time when we need it the most. Our God is able. And he will deliver us from your hand. You see, Nebuchadnezzar thought that dying was the worst thing that they could face. What they knew was that everybody faces that same pathway at some point in time. We're praying for the rapture. We're praying that Jesus will come back, and, you know, that would be great. But for the bulk of humanity, there is an appointment with death. And when you have Jesus living as your Lord, you know this, that Jesus is the one that holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. So their statement was, our God is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But even if he doesn't, what if God doesn't do anything else for you? Are you still okay? If the good that you've experienced from him is the last act of goodness that you will see in this carnal life, are you still okay? Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, an eternity with him is better than a compromise before the king, even now. We know that we are going to be with him, and so we're never going to worship these inferior idols that you would have us to worship. See, you have to understand that statue was made in the image of Nebuchadnezzar. And they said, you know, it's an impressive statue, but it's not God. It's not God, and we will not bow. It comes all the way down into verses 27 and 28, and you see that after the king has called them back out, and he ends up promoting them, and they examined them when they came out. The fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, their garments were not affected, and the smell of the fire was not on them. And I will point out one thing, their deliverer got into the fire with them. Okay, I will tell you, if you are dealing with spiritual adversity and persecution right now, God is not a silent observer. He's right down in the midst of the fire with you. And he's going to give you freedom even in the adversity. He's going to deal with the problems with you. And when you come out, there's not going to be any negative ramifications from that. He said, their bodies had not been burned, their hair had not been singed, their garments were not consumed, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar had another message. He said, forget the statue. Don't anybody bother worshiping the statue. Wouldn't you like to be the catalyst that sparks a civilization to abandon the worship of worthless idols and comes to faith in the living God? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were told, as was everybody else, by King Nebuchadnezzar in verse number 29, there is no other God who can deliver like this. There is no other God who can deliver like this. if we stand in faith, if we say, you know what, when it comes to my character, this is not a subject for compromise. I will not compromise. I will not compromise my relationship with God. I will not patronize. I will not support anything that undermines or tries to displace the worship of the living God. I'm just not going to do it. And when you do it, you have set the stage for God to deal in such a way that people are going to say, there's no one who can deliver like this. Do you realize that before there was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there was Elijah confronting King Ahab while still in Israel, worshiping Baal. Ahab was worshiping Baal along with Jezebel and 850 prophets. And Elijah set up and said, let's see whose God answers by fire. And he said, you go first. You go first. Let's see. And then he began to mock them. Can you imagine if Christians started mocking ungodliness the way that the ungodly mock Christians now? Can you imagine the blowback that we would get? But Elijah did that. And then he said, you know what? There'd been a famine for over 3 years. And he said, let's saturate. Let's take our most precious asset and let's put it on the altar. And remember, it's the God who answers by fire. Let him be God. And he cries out and he prays. And a fire comes and consumes the sacrifice and consumes the water and consumes the stones and everything. And the people said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Can I encourage you today? The devil would have you believe that compromise is the path to salvation for your loved ones. I'm here to tell you that you and I, standing on the word of God and uncompromising belief in who he is and that he alone is worthy to be praised, that is actually the biblical model for them coming to know that there's no one who can deliver like Jesus. I encourage you today, stand firm in your faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and let's watch him as he reveals himself to those around us. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
I hear the prayers of the prayers. I hear the songs in the silence. I see the joy of